Okay, we're getting a brand new sugya. Let's us back a little bit into the mindset of Venice and the Fakta. It's been a little bit of time. Those who weren't with us during the finals, Shirim, it's been a long, long time, but even see a couple of new faces there also. So basically, there are two parshas in the Torah. Now, one is the parsha of Ones, one is the parsha of the Fakta. The person is Ones, who forcibly has beer with this young girl. So the Torah gives one set of halachas, and the person is Mefata, who seduces her, the Torah gives another set of halachas. In terms of the cash, it's the same amount of money, it's the same 50 shekel. We pointed out there's a little bit of a difference in terms of tsar, that was one of the figures that we learned during the finals time. But in terms of the 50 shekel, the number, at least the quantity of cash, is the same. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us there's a very, very big difference in terms of how and when this 50 shekel is paid. Obviously, the onus is significantly more chomra vera. So the Mishnah told us that the guy's ma'anisar, he gives the money no matter what. There's no discussion, no negotiation. It doesn't matter who's what, who's marrying who. Tachas. It's a kefal dalva. He's got to pay it miyad. That's it. Onus nice and miyad. Then, in addition to the fact that he pays the knas, there happens to also be a mitzvah satira that he's supposed to marry, or Velosi Elisha, if she wants. If she doesn't want them, they don't get married again. We'll talk about that hopefully as the sugya is developed. But in terms of paying of the cash, ha'ainis nois in miyad. This is in contrast to a mefata. Mefata is a whole different story. The mefata only pays the knas if and when they don't get married. If they get married, so then they get married and finish, and there's no knas. So if you just read the Sukkot in the Chumash. So the Torah says, when it comes to onus, it says that you have to pay. They have to convulse the Torah. Always just look in the Chumash. So if two psukim. Just reading the simple pshat of the psukim, obviously it's clear what the Mishnah is telling us. So first, the Torah says when it comes to the ones, it says you pay 50 shekel. Finish, end of discussion. And then, by the way, then there's a mitzvah to marry her if she wants it. She doesn't want a whole long of megillah. But the chamishim shekel, the knas is paid no matter what. When it comes to the parsha mefata, back in parsha's mishpatim. So here, the Torah presents the knas and mefata totally different. Here, the Torah says. If the father doesn't want them to get married, when the Gemara learns out, she doesn't want to get married, so then and only then is there going to be a kenas. That's what the Mishnah is trying to highlight, that the einus is nice to be had. He pays the kenas no matter what, and the mefata doesn't pay the kenas right away. But the Mishnah uses a very, very strange way of describing that halacha. The Mishnah says, einus nice to be had, but mefata l'chashe yaitzi. It means, if he was mefata her, and he marries her, and then he divorces her. Look at she yaitzi. So comes the Gemara and he asks, what kind of mandal lashon is that? He asks the Gemara, that's from the Testament days. Look at she yaitzi. Ishtayi. She's his wife. What does that kasha mean? What do the words mean? Ishtayi. She's his wife. What's the Gemara? What's the word? Tamea. So Rashi, the spot says that textually the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Ishtayi. The Mishnah is describing what happens when the couple get divorced. So the Gemara asks, they're not even married yet. It's a real advanced planning. They haven't even gotten married. He was just the father. They're standing in bed and trying to figure out what to do. So the Mishnah is telling you, well, by the way, when they get divorced, this is what you do. So the Gemara is asking a kasha textually on the Mishnah to a mother statement. The Gemara is not asking a halachic question according to Rashi. The Gemara is just asking in such a silly way of formulating, such a silly way of describing it. Look at Sheyaitzi, they're not married in the first place. So according to Rashi, this question, we're not going to lose too much sleep over, we're not going to spend too much, even June's mom, we're not going to spend too much time on this Rashi, because nothing happened. According to Rashi, it was just a textual question, so the Gemara gave a little bit of a textual answer and said, yeah, you're right, change the gears in the Mishnah, it doesn't really mean that, fine. Okay, Eima, what the Mishnah really means is, if he doesn't marry her, then he pays the kenas. Good. So everything's gevaldik. So according to Rashi, there was no bomb halachic question, there was no bomb halachic teretz, nothing really happened. Comes the Rashba. We have anyone turned out the Maram Karmas? No, made a. Where'd he go? Fuck, he just disappeared. Yeah. He was putter. He's putter for June. Come on, tell him. He's come on, finish the job. Comes the Rashba, and he quotes the name of the Ravid, a different Pshat Lagamri. L'chashi yaitzi ishtahi. What does that mean? L'chashi yaitzi ishtahi. Everyone saw that. You have the Rashba. Everyone's got a Rashba printed out on the screen. Everyone's got it. Take a second, okay. And we'll get some apple cake if you want. Try to read the Rashba. I'm going to pressure it. How long is it going to take you? Stop talking about it. Okay. So comes the Rashba, quotes the name of the Ravid, that I'll tell you, says the Ravid, what the Kasha is not. The Kasha is not just a technical, textual question. The Gemara is asking a halachic question, namely, that there shouldn't be any Kras. She's a wife, they got married, and there's nice Kras. There's nothing to talk about. And I'll tell you a secret, says the Ravid. Not only is there no Kras, there's no what? There's no nothing. Normally, when a couple gets divorced, what happens? When he's mitzi her, what does he have to pay her? I don't want to remind you, we all learned Maseches Ksubos this year, okay? As my son last year told me when they learned in Yisodei, they also learned Ilan Iris the whole year. So he said to me that the only time he saw the word Ksuba the entire year was at the top of the page. That was it. There was nothing about Ksubos, the entire third brach of Maseches Ksubos. But here comes the Ravid and says, no, now the Gemara is chepering on the Ksuba. Comes the Gemara and says, according to the Ravid, what do you mean, L'chashe Yaitzi, you're going to start paying her cash? Based on what? What are you going to pay her? There's no Ksuba, there's nothing, zero. You with the Ravid? You have it? Okay. Emboldened. For a Ravid Pirisha B'nichus HaKloima, L'chashe Yaitzi, Nimtzeis Ishta Mekvar, V'nifta Mekinasa, Shu Chamishim Shech, Shem Asahim, U'chashe Motzia, Eno Chayev La, El Amana De Be'ula, Hi Uksivos Amana. So comes the Ravid and says, not that you're going to pay her nothing. You can't say you're going to pay her nothing. You're going to pay her a ksuba, right? What kind of a ksuba are you going to pay her? What kind of a ksuba is this girl going to get? She's going to get half the amount because the Mishnah is in the beginning of the set of ksubas tell us that a ksuba's besula is 200 and a ksuba's ba'ula is 100. So comes the Ravid and says, how much are you going to pay this lady? So you adjust mafat to her. So if you don't get married, you have to pay 50 shekel. 50 shekel, by the way, is 200 zuz, okay? That's the full amount of the ksuba. So if you don't get married, then kesef yishu kumar b'sulah, so you have to pay 200 zuz. If you got married to her and then you divorce her, so the knas you're not going to pay, because ishtahi, you married her already. Once you're married, you don't have to pay the knas. Ella, how much are you going to have to pay her? You're going to pay her like any other woman who you married, who you're divorcing. How much was this girl entitled to for a ksuba? When you married her, how much was she worth? She was what? She was only 100 because she was already a ba'ula. Who is she ba'ula from? From you. So comes the Ravid and says, here's the ma'isa. Here the cheshbon. Here the calculation that the Ravid just made. Reuven's ma'anis. I'm sorry. Reuven is mefater Rachel. She was a ba'ula. He's mefater Rachel. They all decide to get married. Beautiful, wonderful. Under the chuppah, 6 months later, he decides to divorce her. He divorces her. And now she comes and asks for a ksuba. How much does he give her? 100 zuz. The Ravid says, that's what the Gemara's kasha was. The Gemara says, what are you telling me you're going to pay 200 zuz? No, it's ishtahi. You don't have to pay 200 zuz. You only pay 100 zuz because she's like any other ba'ula. Comes the Rashba and says, that is impossible to say such a thing. You know what that opens up? That opens up the following unbelievable avla. What's the guy going to do? He's going to be mefata her. The guy's going to be mefata this girl. He's going to say, listen, I'm not paying the zuz. We're getting married. Right? I'd love to marry you. So they get married. The day after Sheva Brachos, what does he do? He divorces her and hands her a ksuba for 100 zuz. She just lost half of what she was supposed to get. Unbelievable. How can you do that? How can the halacha be like that? It's impossible, says the Rashba. It is inconceivable that if a person is a mafata girl and then he ends up paying the ksuba, he's going to get away with 100 zuz of ksuba. Can't be. It's impossible. Therefore, the Rabbi's proud the Gemara is not the correct shot. I can't defer Rashba. So we want to take this halacha. We want to forget the text of the Gemara right now. We want to take this halacha, this statement that the Rashi just made, that it is inconceivable for such a halacha to be. If you're mefata a girl and you divorce her, you must pay 200 zuz. No negotiations. It's got to be 200 zuz. Otherwise, it can't be.
Didn't we learn, I think, in the first
part,
no one would... No one would make such a big party and such a big mishta and go through the whole process and then after divorce or
something. Right, very good, except for this guy, because if he doesn't marry her, then he's got to give her the knas. Right? So this guy's got a good incentive to do this party. He's got to make a cheshbon. How much does the party cost? If the party costs less than 50 shekel, it may be worth his while. Okay? So again, so I want to analyze this in halacha now. It just emanated from this sugya. The Rashba is convincing us beyond the shadow of a doubt. If a person marries the girl who is mefata, he's got to pay 200 shekel. No negotiations. Where did this halacha come from? What's the source of this din that the Rashba is saying? The Rashba didn't tell us the source. He just said it has to be that way. That kind of a svar, it has to be that way, sounds very what? Because it's not fair otherwise. Lo yechot de nisker, that sounds very, very what? Very derabbanan dickish, right? It sounds like very tikkun olam. It sounds like, you know, this is just something we can't tolerate. So we as rabbis are going to, we're going to save the oppressed lady who's going to never get cheated out of her full ksuba. This is a very, very derabbanan dickish svar, the way the Rashba is presented. Is there more to it than that? Is there more to this din that meets the eye? So there is a Rashi. I think we have a chumash over here. Rashi al haTorah. I'm going to learn a lot of chumash today. Toshe b'chsav. V'chiyefate ish b'sula asher lo orasa v'shechav ima mahor yimarena lo l'isha. If a man will seduce this b'sula, she's not married yet, he's mezana with her, mahor yimarena lo l'isha. Anyone want to translate that phrase? Mahor yimarena lo l'isha. What is that? What's he supposed to do to her exactly? Take her as a wife. So if I was writing the Chumash, I would say ulekacha lo l'isha, right? What does mahor yimarena lo l'isha mean? Anyone learn Chumash and Rashi? Rashi says, "Mahori Marina, Yifsok la Mohar, Kemishpat Ishla Ishto, Shekosav Laksuba Vyiso Enna." Rashi just said. Rashi said that you have to pair a ksuba. Rashi just said pshat in a pasuk. Rashi's job in Chumash is to explain pshat in the pesukim. That's what Rashi's getting paid for. Mahori Marina la Isha. Rashi says pshat in the pasuk is that he has to pay her a ksuba. That's the mocha for the din. Not what the Rashba told you, that it has to be that way, it's a din derabbanan, it's a din olam. Rashi is saying, no, it's looked in pasuk. That's mamash what the pshat the pasuk is. Gemara yimarena l'isha. It's so obvious, it's so poshut. How come the Rashba didn't say that? The Rashba didn't quote this pasuk. The Raiva denied the whole din. How come nobody else learned pshat like Rashi? So the teretz is, there's got to be another pshat of this pasuk, gemara yimarena l'isha, because Rashi's pshat is so difficult. What makes Rashi's pshat? What makes Rashi get rid of it? What makes Rashi's pshat so difficult? Why is Rashi's pshat so difficult in the pshat in the pasuk Mori Morelo Isha? No, we should know a little bit about ksubas, even though we don't learn ksubas. There's a major machloikas, Tanoim and Amaroim and Rishonim and Atayim is ksuba deraisa, is ksuba derabanan. We're not even sure that a ksuba is deraisa. Hopefully we're going to talk about that in the next sugya. Is ksuba deraisa, is ksuba derabanan. If you hold that ksuba is deraisa, all right, not so terrible. More me read a little isha. Maybe. But if you hold that ksuba is what? Is only the derabanan. So how could the Torah say such a thing? More me read a little isha. How could that translate to mean a ksuba? It doesn't make any sense. So you know who's bothered with that kasha? The Ramban. The Ramban al HaTorah, I think I put it in the Rambam Kemis. The Ramban al HaTorah says that can't be pshat the pasuk. There's no way that the Torah is telling you that you have to pay a ksuba to this girl, because for that matter, you don't ksuba to any girl. There's no such thing as a ksuba deraisa. So what does Mar Yimarela Elisha mean, says the Ramban? Nothing to do with ksuba. So what has to do with? Anyone saw the Ramban? Sending gifts, sending her nice clothing, sending her jewelry before Yom Tov. Means like any other normal girl when you get engaged. So you send the flowers, you send her this, send her a birthday present. So Mar Yimarela Elisha means that you should treat her, the Torah saying, you know, you're really a bump for what you did, but all right, you know, you're going to get married to this girl anyway, so treat her with kavod, treat her with respect. Mari Maren Alisha. Is the Torah saying to write the ksuba? Says the Rabban, Moshe Rabbeinu never heard of a ksuba. How can Moshe Rabbeinu tell us, come down from our Sinai, and he says, Rabban Shalom told me the following, Mari Maren Alisha, write a ksuba. Everyone's looking at me and saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, I have no idea, because there's no such thing as a ksuba, dear Isa. So that can't be the pshat in the pasuk. But Rashi saw in this pasuk, Mori Morel Elisha, as a makor, that there's a din, deraisa, that you have to write a ksuba besula to the girl you were mefat. Even though at the time that you're marrying her, she's already a be'ula. How do we understand Rashi?
How do you imagine talking about a ksuba of a besula? You have a 200-wife,
you don't give them that. Isn't it Mahor Yimarena Elisha, Kesiv Yesho Kemor HaBesulos. Sounds like it's the same word. What? Yeah, it means 200. So l'chayra, Rashi is very difficult. I mean, you want to just push Rashi into the corner and say this Rashi is only a libid of ksuba deraisa. Can we do better than that, Rabbi say? Can we make this Rashi shdim even if you hold the ksuba derabanan? Have any ideas? How could this pasuk possibly be mechayiv you to pay a ksuba if the whole institution of ksuba is on the mitzvah about it?
Form of
knots, well, you're already like 10 steps ahead of us. Right? You already think like Nerav Yehuda. We're not up to that yet. We're going to get there. I just want a simple pshat. I want to deflect the Ramban's kasha. Ksuba is only the Rabbanon. So how can it be the Torah says you have to pay a ksuba? The Torah doesn't accept the idea of a ksuba altogether. So I'll ask you a kasha. Back to Parshas Bahar. Really on a roll today with Chumash. Just get like Bible credits for them. Torah says, when you have an Eved Ivri, so the Eved Ivri doesn't work too long. It works until Yovel. I have 6 years of until Yovel. And he leaves. Huvanav imo. His children leave with him as well. Right? Anyone know what that pasuk means? What do you mean his children leave with him? What? So comes the Gemara and says, V'chihechan banav, what, his children were working? He was an Eved Ivri, his children weren't avadim. Comes the Gemara and says, Zem, from that you see from here, that mikan she'adun chayav, v'mezenev z'barav v'vnoisev. That when a person buys an Eved Ivri, they take on an obligation to support the children. That's the din d'oraisa. The yotz of one it's megalot to me that Kol's mother guy was an Eved Ivri, the other was mechir min d'oraisa to support the children. Going back to Parshas Mishpatim, what does the Torah say about an Eved Ivri? Right? In Baal Yishahu, the yotz ah, ishto imo. What do you mean his wife goes free? Who made his wife into a shivchon? Just because he stole, his wife's not working. His wife is not an Eved Ivri. So the same Dirasha, the Gemara says, Mikan, Shia Adun Chayev, what? B'mezaynis Ishtai. So here you have this unbelievable Din D'Oraisa that an Adon for an Eved Ivri is Chayev B'mezaynis Ishtai and Chayev B'mezaynis Barav of Noisav. Do you understand that halacha? What do you think the nature of that halacha is? What do you think the Svar Pshut of that halacha is? I don't think that much Chachma. Ah, she's thinking too long. Just simple, come on, easy. What?
Be nice to the guy.
I mean, more than just nice to the guy. Who was supporting his wife and children up until this point? He was. Now, you went ahead and took away their source of parnosa, so a yeshiva dictates that you have to support them, right? That's the pasha. I mean, you don't need a rocket scientist to figure this out, but that's probably what the Torah is telling us. This guy was bringing the salary up, so now he's no longer bringing a salary. So who's going to support the wife? But the wife's going to go to work. She has nothing to do. The children, the little kids, they're chayda. Who's going to go to? No one's going to go to work. The kids are in cuddle. They're not working. So what? So who's going to support this family? So the Torah says, you as the other. You took over the father. You took the breadwinner of the family away. You have to support the kids. You have to support the wife. That's the pashtet form. Do you understand this halacha? There's a din d'oraisa, a din mamonis. These guys can take the adam to a din Torah. The wife can take the adam to a din Torah to support her. That's what says in Parshas Mishpat and Parshas Bahar. Do you understand that? What's the problem? Forget the adam for a second. What if the father was not sold as an Eved Ivri? What if my own kids want to take me to a din Torah? My kid comes to me today, Abim Zev comes and says, Abba, I'm taking you to a din Torah because you didn't buy me a hockey stick or something. And you didn't buy me food. You didn't buy me pizza. You didn't buy me chopsticks for dinner today. So what's this? He has a right to take you to a din Torah? What if I don't give him any food at all? I tell him, Abim Zev, you're a big boy, you're 13 already, go out and get a job. He could take me to a din Torah. What's the din? The chlama. He could take me to a din Torah. Midaraisa, a parent does not mechuv to support a child. Not only not a married child, a single child. And you're not mechuyav b'deraisa to support your children. There is no such chiyuv at all to support your children. The Gemara Maseches Ksuba says, a person who doesn't support his children, doesn't feed his children, he's a menuvel, he's a mushchitz, terrible thing. And we're going to force him to do it out tzedakah maybe. But out chiyuv and dinim hominis. The Gemara says that when there was a guy who was letting his children starve, so the Gemara says they forced him to give money out. They told him to give his mice and money to his kids, but it wasn't out the chiv of mezainis, the bottom of noisif. There is no chiv of mezainis, the bottom of noisif. The Gemara says they made a takana later in history in Usha. After the Beis Lishma was destroyed, they made it to Usha is kino, that you have to support your children until the ripe old age of when? Of six. 6 years old. My kids are over 6 already. I'm not mechuyif. Even believe I don't have to give them. It's finished. Then I go make our own lunch. I'm not mechuyif to feed them. I'm a nice guy. Give them money for lunch. I remember when I was a little boy, my father told me this halacha. I think I just turned 6. I think he patted me on the back. I said, son, time to get out the world. I know what he was talking about. I got so scared. I said, 6 years old? That's it. It's over. He still, Baruch Hashem, supported me way past 6. Past 16, past 26, past 36. Okay. But basically, getting back to the story. Is a husband mechuyav to support his wife? So Ashi says, of course he's mechuyav to support his wife. So she'exus v'ayinu l'yigra, right? It's mechuyav to support his wife. In the fourth paragraph of Masechus Ksubis, is She'er really referring to Bezonis or not? One time it says She'er doesn't mechlal, not even referring to Bezonis, it's referring to something else. And one time it says Bezonis Ishtas Deraisa. But there are many Tanoim, and there are Rishonim who write Paskin Allah that Bezonis Ishtas is only Midirabonim. The fact that a husband has to support his wife is only Midirabonim, it's not even Deraisa. So I don't understand these dinim of the Evidivri. A guy buys an Evidivri, and the Torah slaps at him two Chiyuvim. He has to support the children, he has to support the wife. The Eved himself didn't have to support his own children. The Eved himself, according to half the Torah, didn't have to support his wife. How could the Torah formulate such a chiyuv with Nidim Amunus? I have to take the place of the other when the other Gufa was potter. So Krumpt is showing them. The Rabban himself actually says in the Pasha Mishpatim that L'chora, what the nature of these halachas are as follows. That in Achinami, in terms of a real bona fide chiyuv, there is no chiyuv to support your children in Midiraisa. And there's no real chiyuv, according to many Torah, to support your wife in Midiraisa as well. But it's no shabbalam. That's what normal people do. Normal people support their wives. Normal people are supposed to support their wives. Normal people support their children. So comes the Torah and says, we're going to institute, the Torah institutes a chiyuv on the Adon, that the Adon has to follow what the minhag ha'olam is. That since the minhag ha'olam is that people support their wives and children, so if you buy a guy's breadwinner, you buy the wife's breadwinner, you buy the children's breadwinner, you have to step up to the plate. And that's going to become a chiyuv ha'Torah. So you see that there's a concept in halacha that the Torah superimposes a chiyuv on somebody, even though nobody else is really chayav, but since that's a darkish shaloyim kachim min ha'olam, so the Torah can have a chiyuv in dinim mominus that follows that type of pattern. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says, that's exactly what's going on here as well. There's a machlekes ha'tanoim, it's ksubi derais, ksubi derabonim, maybe yeah, maybe no. But tachlis, what people are paying ksubis, the days of Mount Torah, was that normal that a person would write this amount of money to his wife and say, in case the death or the war, we'll help you live for a little while? That was normal. Is it a din derais, a din derabanan? You can build from that till tomorrow. But was it minhag ha'olam or others? It was the minhag ha'olam. Come to Mishnah Melech and says, that's exactly what Rashi says in Chumash. Mahor yim harenel of the Isha means, since normal couples, when they get married, the husband writes a ksuba to his wife, you mefate, don't think you're going to treat her any less. Don't think you're going to treat her with any less respect than a normal husband would do. And just as a normal person would give her 200 zuz, you have to give her 200 zuz. And now for you, it's a teres chiyuv. For everybody else, it's not. And guess what? You're the lucky guy. For you, it's a teres chiyuv. No different than the adon, who is now mechuyav to support the wife and the children, even though the Eved himself, Tachat, didn't have such a chiyuv. That's exactly what Moim Moren Elisha means. That's the Xerzgum, that's the Chiddush HaTorah. So Zochta Mishlom Melech against the Ramban, it doesn't matter whether Ksuv is Dira'is or Ksuv is Dira'vonon, Moim Moren Elisha means that you have to pay Ksuv. You're the lucky guy who has to pay Ksuv with Dira'isa, L'chol HaDeis. So I call upon Rabbi Say, we have now three possibilities, how the Halacha plays out. The person is Mefata, girl, they get married, and 10 minutes later he decides to divorce her. So what is he mechuyav to pay? So what did the Ravid say? The Ravid said, how much does he have to pay her? Like any other one, any other ksubas be'ula, 100 zuz, that's it, no more, no less. Not a penny more than 100 zuz. The Rashba said, it can't be, it's impossible, it's what you're talking about, because the Rashba svara was upset, there are abundant things svara. It's evshir that should be like that. Rashi Latur says much more than that. Rashi Latur said, it's a real chiyuv, it's a real bona fide chiyuv, it's a pasuk chumash. How can it be a pasuk chumash? I ksubas on the rabbanan, either ksubas deraisa, or even ksubas derabbanan, Pachichiva Rachamana, to mimic what the minhag ha'olam was of Mari Marev Elisha. Comes the Nevi Yehuda and he says, as you were brought up, comes the Nevi Yehuda and he says, the fact that this is a Chiddush HaTorah, Mari Marev Elisha, I wouldn't have figured this out on my own. Mari Marev Haraya, I wouldn't have figured it out. The Ravid, even with the Pasuk Chumash, didn't figure it out. Rabban, even with the Pasuk Chumash, didn't figure it out. They thought the Pasuk meant something else. But this Chiddush HaTorah, according to Rashi, that even the Chiyuv Midraisa paid Ksub, even though it doesn't really make any sense, it paid 200, not 100, and that's a Chiyuv Midraisa. It's such a Chiddush HaTorah. It's learned that from this Pasuk, Elecha Bala Chidusha. It means Zakhti Nadbidu, when the Parsha of Mefata applies, then this bit applies. What does that mean when the Parsha of Mefata applies? We learned it on Iris already this year, we know. Mefata has many, many limitations to it. It's only if she's a what? First of all, she was obviously a Pasul to begin with. It has to be what? She has to be a Na'ara, according to some Tanarim, Dafka Na'ara, according to other Tanarim, even a Ketana. But one thing, Fishona, what's the Fishona? She's a Begeris. Girl's a Begeris. She's 20 years old, the person's Mefat to her. She was a Begeris. She didn't really want to. He convinced her, he talked her into it, and he was Mefat to her. Does the Parsha Mefat to really apply? No. That's not the Chiyuv HaTorah, Na'ara Besula. No, she's not subject to the Parsha Mefat. Therefore, there's no 50 shekel, and there's nothing, the whole Parsha doesn't apply. Comes in the deed and says, what if this couple gets married? They decide to get married. He talked her into it, they're Mizana together, decide to get married. 10 minutes after the wedding, he divorces her. How much does he pay? He pays 100 zuz, like any other ksubas ba'ula. Not a penny more. It's ksuba, that's all he has to pay, is ksubas ba'ula. Because you got a ba'ula. That's it. She owes only entitled to 100 zuz. I bore you, Marenel Isha. That's the Parsha Mefata. If you're not subject to the Parsha Mefata, you don't have to pay it. Finish. Have the discussion. So Rabbi said, Lamaisa. Unfortunately, this scenario plays out. Happens Lamaisa. Have a couple. They're dating. And he gets Mishigas into his head. So he talks her into it. And they're Mazana together. They're engaged. They get married. Mazda, finally, get married. What's Aksuma? According to this Nevi Yehuda, even according to Rashi, even according to Tashba, this is not Mefata, this is Bu'ula Satsmai. Bu'ula Satsmai is a regular 100 zuz. Her ksuba should say on it 100 zuz. That's all it should say on it. The boy said, that could potentially be very, very embarrassing. And the guy gets up and reads the ksuba, assuming anyone's listening, so it shouldn't say, Kesef Zuzei Mosad Dechazi Leichi. It ain't true. It's not Kesef Zuzei Mosad, it's Kesef Zuzei Meya. It's not Besulaichi, because she's not a Besul anymore. So the whole thing is a sham. The whole thing is a fake. If she's Bulas Matzmo, the couple were living together before, they were Zana one time before, she's Ice Besula, the Ksuba should really only be 100 Zuz. That's the bin. Taka should only be 100 Zuz. Poskim write that, let's say, the husband either literally says or figuratively says, listen, I know I'm only Mechurv to pay you 100 Zuz, but I don't want to hang this thing on the wall that says 100 zuz on it. It doesn't look too nice. So I'm going to be mishav myself with 200 zuz. So Rabbi Shet is up. You want to be mishav yourself 200 zuz? Isn't that it? So that's what we do as manager. Nobody writes 100 zuz. Even though we know she's out of a sula, we know the couples have been living together for the last 2 years. We'll write, you want to write 200 zuz, you can write 200 zuz. Whatever as long as the chassid knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. He was mafat to her. As long as the chassid is mishabim himself to 200 zuz, zozayin at 200 zuz. But the ikar din, she's not entitled to 200 zuz. The ikar din, she really only is entitled to 100 zuz, notwithstanding the rational term. So again, getting back to that story. So it all started with Agamar. Agamar had this funny kasha, l'chshiyotzi ishtahi. So Rashi said the kasha meant absolutely nothing, just a textual quirk. The Ravid said, no, it means a lot. It meant that you only pay 100 zuz for a divorce, after divorcing this woman. So the Rashi said, it can't be. Rashi sounds like it can't be midirabanan. Rashi Atar says, no, it can't be midiraisa. So we had to give a little razzle dazzle. What do we mean it can't be midiraisa? Ksuba's only midirabanan. So we gave up a mashal mod of adonah, t'chir mizaynes for ishto banav. And then we said that since it's Gzeres HaKosav based on the Pasuk Chumash, the Nevi Yehuda limits that Gzeres HaKosav only to the case where Pashas Mefata really applies.
Does the husband say this explicitly? Or can we just assume?
No one's going to pay Ksuba anyway. Question, what's going to say on the artwork on the wall? Yeah, it's not going to look nice. Okay. most of the ksubas that are, you know, write the fancy ksubas. If you, anyone's planning on getting married soon, having a nice fancy ksuba, so do me a favor and don't. Just get a cheap ksuba. But if you want to, make sure you get it done right. And most of the time when I've been Masada Kedushin with a fancy ksuba, there have been problems. Because break down communications, you get the wrong spelling of the name, the wrong this, the wrong that. I was Masada Kedushin once, a couple of years ago, that I was in Eretz Yisrael in the summer, the person was here, and I was supposed to be Masada Kedushin right after the summer. So back and forth, you know, with emails, back and forth spelling the names, and at the end of the day we made a mistake. It was a very, very fancy ksuba. My son was a mistake. So I felt very bad. I said to them, listen, I said, we'll fill out, you know, we'll make it look nice as a piece of artwork, we'll hang it on the wall, but we're going to write a $2 ksuba on the side, that's going to be the Kashik ksuba. The good luck was, that got me off the hook, was that it was one of those hurricanes that never really happened. I forgot about it. One of those like I forgot which one. Not Sandy. One of the earlier ones. So they the whole city was like it's locked down. So they canceled the wedding for the day. They pushed the wedding off till the next day because they're afraid. So they couldn't use the ksuba anyway because they had the wrong date. So I got off the hook. So I explained to everybody. I said I'd love to use the ksuba. It's a beautiful ksuba. I can't use it. What do you want from me? Can't use it because I had the wrong name on it. Also, I had the wrong date. Okay. See how Dishmai comes in strange ways. All right. Rabbi Say, getting back to the Pasha Mefata. So the Torah tells us about Mefata that unlike Ones, we have to pay the Knas all the time, the only time that Mefata pays Knas is if the couple doesn't get married. And who decides whether the couple's going to get married or not? So the Torah says, Ima'ein yema'ein avil l'sita lo, if the father refuses for the Shidduch to go through, then and only then Kesev Yeshua Kibar HaPsulos. Then he has to pay the Knas. So the Gemara on Lamitas Mabes comments on this. The Gemara says, Yemoyin Yemoyin Aviyah, Ein Yel Aviyah, He Atzma Minayin, Tamad Lama Yemoyin Yikom Mokayim. So we have the Gdesa Kosov, a double Oshon, Yemoyin Yemoyin comes the Rabos, that she could be my Enes as well. She could refuse. Either one. Either the father refuses, she refuses, or it's Shidduch, and then and only then the Knas is going to have to be paid. You know what the kashrut by saying? What's the problem? You read this Gemara. Yimoyin yimoyin aviyah. What's the problem? Halachli, what's the problem? And therefore. So tell me, I want to play out the scenario, okay? The guy's Mefata Naira. Naira Basula. He's 12 years old. He's Mefata her. And then everyone's coming to Beis Din. So the Mefata's in Beis Din. The father's in Beis Din. She's everyone's screaming at each other in Beis Din. Right? So with Beis Din's trying to sort out what's going to happen. The father gets up and says, I refuse to let this shidduch go through. Okay, he's entitled, right? Because I'm a kavu, kedusha, lebita, naira, right? So the father says, I'm not approving the shidduch. So the Torah says, good. Yima'ein, yima'ein, avi alasita lo, kesev yishkuma psulus. So the father's got to pay the knas. I understand. So kumpi tershubapen tells me now, ein li alavi hiatsu minayin. The father's not refusing. The father's saying, okay, she wants to marry his name. And she gets up at the ripe old age of 12, it says, I don't want to marry this guy. I don't like this guy. I don't want to marry this guy. So what does the Torah say? Ima'ein, yima'ein, all the rabbos, that she can be my enes, and then, kesev yishkumar habsulos. So it's identical. It doesn't matter who's my enes. Either he's my enes, she's my enes, either one refuses the marriage, then the din of kenas kicks in. Now what's the kasha by saying? When she says she doesn't want to get married, therefore, he can be kaddish of al-karach anyway. Is Yesh Biyad L'Katsha. Again, is that a nice thing to do? Is it the proper thing to do? We're going to give him after Yonifer? Probably not. But if he does it, it's going to be Chal. I'm the Kabul Kedushin. It's a Mishnah Maseches Ksubas, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere. Mem Vavam Avei, he's Av Zachah B'Bita B'Kiddushin B'Kesh Shabbi B'Bia. He gave him the Kaddish Shabbi Akkorcha. So what's the Torah talking about? What is this Tashma? What is the Halacha Mashina meaning? Moin, you moin. Kach never the Mashab Sidna. Mashram gave Mashar Vain a Pashad Mashpatim the day after Shavuos. Mom, she told him to come up for Pashad Mashpatim. I was so excited in Shul because I gave some Shirim about Inyan of Pashad Mashpatim, Ve'elam Mashpatim, Dayonim. So I'm getting ready for Sanhedrin for next year. So I said, the reason why I'm saying the Shirim are because it's Mamash, the day of Shavuos, the first mitzvah that the Rabban Shalom is giving us after Ban Teres of Ve'elam Mashpatim Shatasim Lefleim. And they said, the other reason I'm saying the Shirim because I'm preparing them for next year, so they're on the top of my head right now, that's why I'm saying them also. But the real reason is, Ve'elam Mashpatim Shatasim Lefleim. So the Rabban Shalom tells my Shrabbeinu, Imoin, Imoin, Aviyah, Eli al Aviyah, he asked me, Nayan, Tamil Lime, Moin, Yimon, Yikomachim, Frech Mashabin of Kasha, what do you mean? Imon, she's going to refuse? He'll be Makara Shabi Akorch anyway. Doesn't make any sense. What kind of right of refusal does she have? It doesn't make any sense. So comes Tosfos and says, Tema Lari, Lamatessa Base. Tema. But my Mayri, Diramasma Aim. Ibiktana Obanara, Hechi Cholamoyin. Given to Avrota, Vihu Yachal Kachiba Korchal, Misha Yirtsa. Right? So Tosfos says, doesn't make any sense. She has no right to refuse. He could marry, he'll marry her off anyway. So skip down a little bit. Vihamiri. What did the Regis say? No? Who saw what the Regis said? Let me read. The Regis says that in Ochinami, if the father wants to marry her off, he'll marry her off to this guy. But guess what? If she says, I don't want to marry this guy, even though she has no choice, you know what she's going to cash in on? She's going to get 50 shekel. The father's going to get 50 shekel. You hear this? As long as there's a miyun that's registered, and officially, it's not the miyun of last month. As long as there's an official statement of refusal, somebody signs an affidavit saying that they refuse to go through with this wedding, so then the halacha is you get kenas. That's what the Chumash says. Imoin yimoin navil asitalo kesef yishul kumar abesulos. The mechayiv of kenas is the miyun from the girl's side. Either the father being mamanis or the girl herself. Someone on the kala side has to be mamanis. So we don't give the aunt a choice. We don't give the grandmother a choice. We don't give the mother a choice. There are two official people. Either one of them can register a complaint against this marriage. Either the father can register a complaint or the daughter can register a complaint. There's an unbelievable difference in the two complaints. The father registers a complaint. What happens? There's a shidduch. But the daughter registers a complaint. It's tough luck. So she's going to end up getting married and the father's going to end up with 50 shekel. Did you hear this one? This is wild. As long as there's a meal that's registered, that's when the kenas kicks in.
Why don't we ask a similar question to the Rashbam and the Rabbi and every single person? It's just,
It's a game. It's not much a joke. It means the father's going to say, oh, I want to go through the shidduch, and he's going to say to his daughter, listen, just as you're walking down to the chuppah, start screaming. Start throwing a temper tantrum. You know why? Get 50 shekel. Give you a few dollars and a few extra dollars on the side, and we'll cash in on this guy. This poor chassan, I mean, it's obvious he said no, he's not. This poor mefata, right? After all, the Torah sounds like it's saying either marry or pay, and he's ending up with both. He's marrying her and he's paying because they're in cahoots. The father and daughter are in cahoots with each other. Now, before the read came along, how did you learn shot in this pasuk? Imoin yimoin avila sit alay. What did you think? What jump starts the knas? What's the mechayiv of the knas? The miyun is the mechayiv of the kenas. What's the mechayiv of the kenas? The lack of marriage. Is the fact that they're not getting married. That's what kicks the kenas off. The read just learned a different shalom. I'm in the policy. I'm sure learning chumash today. Total chumash. From today to the end. Getting to end. The read is learning imoin yimoin is pshuto kemashmo. When there's a miyun, and it doesn't really matter whether the miyun has any halachic effectiveness, it doesn't really make a difference what the miyun accomplishes or doesn't accomplish. A miyun from... From the father, from the daughter, either one is Amiyun, Kesav Yishev Kamar Abesulus. So nobody else said like this. None of the other Yishevim said like this, because they couldn't believe it. How could you say such a thing? So what's the pshat? So Tacha, what's the answer? So Ashi is giving us the social, the background, analyzing the psychological dimensions of it. So we're just slammed on, and we're just reading, Pshut Kimashmo. So they say, if you don't go down to root of three, what other options available? So Tosfos drops a hint at another possible shot, which they don't like, but not so bad. Maybe, there's no father here. Maybe there's no father here, Bechlal. But the Torah says, Imoin, Imoin, Ein li Allah, Aviyah, Hi Minayin. What that means is like this. When the father's around, he's calling the shots, he's B'mayin. When the father's not around, then she's calling the shots, but she can be B'mayin. In other words, in Nochinam, when the father's there, her Miyun is L'mal V'mayin. The wreath of what that Ein li Allah, Aviyah, Hi Minayin means under all circumstances. The father's standing there and she's standing there. Each one gets a veto. Bechlal, not true, says Tyson, is a possibility. There's only one veto per case. Only one guy gets a veto in the Security Council. Not everybody. One guy gets a veto. Who gets the veto? The person who's in charge. So if the father's alive and well, he's standing there, he has the ability to make a shot, he presses the veto. And if he chooses not to use his veto power, she could scream and throw a temper tantrum in the middle of the Mayrid. If he's marrying her off, so she's not going to get a kenas. Finished. The only time the Torah is marba that she could veto is Hachal Mayaskinon, that he's not around in the first place. That's not a bad teretz. Pretty good teretz. Right? Who thinks that's a good teretz? Who likes that teretz? Dr. Berber likes that teretz. Quite your thought, okay. So anyone who's been in my shiur this year, when it was really a virus, has got to like shake and shudder at this teretz. Because wait, so what are, where is the father exactly? Where'd he go? Where is he? He's in China. Where'd he go? He's not alive. She's a Yisayma. That's what happened, right? Mefatas a Yisayma, right? That's what I was talking about, right? I mean, again, we're trying to create this scenario. We're trying to find a case. We have this pasuk screaming at us that's saying, Imoin Yimoin, Moshe Rabbeinu has come down from our scene with Imoin Yimoin, and all the Baalei HaTorahs are asking Moshe Rabbeinu, give me a case. Come on, I want a case. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, this is the case. The case is, she's a Yisayma. So he said, one second. Hold on. This girl's a Yisayma. That's the case that the Torah is talking about, that Pasha's Mefath applies, and she's the one who's expressing her veto power. And if she doesn't veto, what does she get? Gets the kenas, right? It's the pasuk says, so you were mefata yisayma, and she chose not to express her veto power, and she walks away from shekel. Anyone have anything to say about that topic? Isn't there a mishnah about that? On daf mem amud aleph? Isn't there another mishnah about that? We've seen mishnayos about that. We had one on daf lamed tes. Man, we're all over the place. What? She's what? If you're mefata a yisayma, is there any kenas at all? There's no way there's a kenas. You know why? She's what? She's mechelas. If you're ma'anes a yisayma, 12-year-old girl, then she wasn't mechelas. She's screaming. But if you're mefata, if you're mefata a girl who has a father, so then she can't be meichel. She's not the bailam. The money goes to the father. But if you're mefata a yisayma, the only recipient of that kenas is going to be the little girl herself. But she's mechelas by her. Who told her to agree to be mezana with you? Okay, so was it nice? You were mefata. You started up with her. But at the end of the day, she gave in willingly. So licked in her willingly be mezana with you was a mechila on the kenas. So what's Tais talking about? This is mamash a terrible case of overkill. We're looking, we're trying so hard, we're trying so hard to find a hachamayis in a scenario where her veto makes sense. So we found the case. This is the case where her veto makes sense. Hachamayis kinan, her veto makes sense in this scenario. This case alone of Mefata Yisayma. Mefata Yisayma, I'm sorry to tell you, there's no kenas altogether. Zippo, there's no kenas because she's Mechelas kenas. So this doesn't bode well for a very successful case, right, Dr. Berman, after this whole year. Poor case, right? Sorry to try and insult you. But Dr. Berman's going to tell me, no, not so fast. I can salvage this case. I can bring this case back to life. Ooh, I remember Yerushalmi back from September, almost 10 months ago, where the Yerushalmi says, when do we say that she's Mecheles? Mefata said the same is Potter. When do we say that her Mechila registers and Yepotter? That means Yepotter from what? Yepotter from Pagam and Yepotter from Boishas, but from the Knas? You can't be Mecheles the Knas. You know why you can't be Mecheles the Knas? Because it's a what? It's here all together, all the guys from the whole year. New guys also, it's a what? It's a Dovah Shalba Liyom, it doesn't exist here. You give the hands, Ash, you're right, 10 up there. It's a Dovah Shalba Liyom, it doesn't exist, the Knas. It's a Knas. Knas doesn't kick into when? Everybody knows. What's the Mechayv of a Knas? Come on, what's the Mechayv of a Knas? Beis Din. Until there's Habad Bedin and Beis Din, there's Nishkin Knas, but Knas Pot, everybody knows that. Yeah. Somebody should have knew that. Well, clear. I didn't know that. So comes the Yerushalmi and says, "I, the Mishnah says, Mefata as a Yisrael is Potter. Nah, that means Potter from Bajj to Pagam, but from the Kenas of Adar is Kenas. Phew. So, okay. So according to that Yerushalmi, we could breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. We can give it Okimta. We're not too excited about the Yerushalmi because we're not so worried about the Kasha of the Yerushalmi because we have been convinced over the course of the last 10 months, multiple times, by who? By the Ramban, that no, there is Mechila on a Kenas. even though it's a davar shelo bal yoylam? How is there mechila on a kenas, even though it's a davar shelo bal yoylam? In one of two ways, says the Rabban. No, who remembers? Either because you're not being meichel the kenas, you're being mesalik yourself from the rights of being zoich on the kenas. That's a different parasha. There's mechila. Mechila means when there's a chayv that already exists, somebody owes you $100, you can be meichel the chayv. Then there's another area of halacha called siluch. You could prevent his chayv from coming to you in the first place. So the Ramban says that he doesn't think the Rishalim is right. He thinks the Baalik disagrees. The Eidish Lomer says the Ramban, no, come on, let's go here. Comes the Ramban and says, you know why she can be quote unquote mechelas the knas? Because she's not mechelas the knas. There's never a knas in the first place. It has a status that's called a mazik pershus. If I tell you to break something in mind, you're not called a mazik altogether. A mazik means when you're mazik shaloi bishus. When you're mazik bishus, this is nishken hezik. The Chiyuv Knas is a type of a hezek. It's one of the 24 mazikin that's mentioned above a comment of Dalit. It's a din of a mazik, and a mazik b'shus is nishkin mazik. So this already goes back. This is a throwback to, whoa, we spoke about this 20 times this year. So the last thing we want to do is make this the case of the Pasuk in Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu comes out from our scene with Moin Yemoin, which says, oh, by the way, a little girl, she can register a veto also. So he asked the Kasha, what do you mean? She doesn't have a day over here. The father's calling the shots. So the Re gave his shot we had difficulty with. So now Taitz is suggesting another shot. Hachabah Ma'askinon that she's a Yesoma. I don't know if I want to go down that route. Hachabah Ma'askinon she's a Yesoma. I think after Drezach with Rishamlis, with Taizim, with Rambans, too complicated. But can I salvage the case anyway? Can I make this girl Yesoma without her really being Yesoma? What do you mean by that? I want a case. Give me a case. I don't care how crazy, wild, nutty it is. I want a case, a scenario, you name it, that the Knas and the Fata will fundamentally apply, but she has a right to register the complaint. The father's not here.
She's
not registered. It's too complicated. You're getting me again. It's too complicated. Too complicated.
So the father was alive.
You mafat to her when the father was alive and well, and then afterwards Nebuch the father dies. So who gets the cash now? We learned Mishnah's fourth paragraph in Ksubis. She gets the cash, and there's no father around. Now we're in business, right? That's a case. Is that such a good case? Who remembers? Which we should have had trouble with that case. There's a major machlekes harishonim about that very case. A person is mefata a girl when the father's alive. The father dies. Does she get the knas or not? Why should somebody say she doesn't get the knas? Because she was what? She was mocheles. To which others responded, but at the time that she was mocheles, she wasn't a bialim to be moichel because the father was the one who was supposed to get it. To which the other Rishon responded, that's nice, but right now she's the recipient of the check. How could you give her a check for 50 shekel to somebody that she was moichelas on? So that was machlekes, the Ramban and the Ran, right? We spoke about that in the fourth paragraph of Ksubas. A lot of tires about that. About that crazy case of the father as a regular girl with a father. The father dies. Does she get the cash of her father or not? Or do you say that's also part of the parasha of Mefata is Yisrael Mepata? Is Mefata is Yisrael Mepata only when she was a Yisrael B'shas Maisa Pitoi? Or even at the time of Tashlumen, she's a Yisrael Mepata? There's still going to be a Pitoi. So Rabbi Sai, I don't know whether we want to go down that route of Yisrael Mepata. It's getting too sticky, getting too complicated. Not such a great teretz. Possible, but you gotta walk this obstacle course to find the case. According to some, there's no case altogether. According to some, it depends. That's too complicated. We're back to square one, by side, back to original Kamisha. It says in the Chumash, I want a case. What case is the Torah talking about? So the Re gave us a suggestion that Hacham Eskin, the father's alive and well. She's vetoing. Her veto means nothing in Uchus Kedushin, but it gets a 50 shekel. That was the Re's shot. And nobody else held that way because everybody else said, what are you talking about? If at the end of the day her veto is meaningless, so that's not the case that the Torah is talking about. So we're stuck. We don't want to go down the Yesoma route. We're having issues with the Re's pshat. We're still searching for another, at least one or two more alternate pshatim. What is this Gzeiras HaKasuv? The Rabbah, she has a right to be Me'enes. Tomorrow, we'll try to pick up on this point.